Well, as you know, I've been asking for Matas to call in for about a week or so, and we finally secured his appearance on JM in the AM. I'm laughing because this whole solar eclipse thing is such a great routine. And when Matas and I are together on topics like this, they usually end up hilarious. Not to raise expectations, but that's what usually happens. We'll get to Harry Rothenberg coming up. Parsha Shmini, Parsha Zachodesh, candle lighting at 7:05 in New York. Make sure you know when things start where you are. We'll bench Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. Rosh Chodesh Nisan will be on Tuesday. Matas Weingast, host of JM Sunday and 400 other functions at the Nachum Segal Network. Welcome back to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum. Good Erev Shabbos to you.
You would have loved this, by the way. Our main piece of equipment, but literally, like the brains of this whole operation, has basically been telling us all morning that they're about to go on strike. listener Ruved would call it gremlins. I'm calling it like the king of the gremlins has showed up this morning. So far, thank God we're still on the air. Baruch Hashem, Bli Ainara. But yeah, of course, on a Friday, you know how it is. Everything happens on a Friday. My father used to always say that everything always happens on a Friday. You know, when you're up against the clock, or in our case, when you have a really popular show going on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry I didn't join you earlier, but I was eclipsed by the wonderful music and interviews you had.
So I didn't
get a guess. Should we stop now?
So Matas, Rabbi Heber, has declared that not only is he going to a major city where the solar eclipse can be seen in its entirety, or whatever that means. If it's an eclipse, I would guess it can't be seen in its entirety, but you know what I'm saying. So he's going to be in a major city, and he'll join us in the 7 o'clock hour this coming Monday. So, look, the bottom line is we need to know if Matas Weingast is jealous or not. We know about your feelings about space and space travel and some of the things that you've taught us over the years when it comes to the sun, moon, and stars. So we're wondering, is Matas Weingast somebody who would like to go to, I don't know, Rochester or somewhere like that, where half a million people are going to be descending on the city on Sunday and Monday? Are you fine being where you are and simply observing this whole story from the comfort of your own home?
I would have to say that I am fine with being here at home and seeing it, whatever there is here, if there's any partial, and God invented the eclipse, and he also invented the internet, so I'll be able to see it no matter where.
Go ahead. But
that's it. Our show is done right now. But honestly, over, Baruch Hashem, my lifetime, I have seen total solar eclipses that have passed by. So I know what it's like. And I have to tell you that it's a strange but wonderful feeling to understand that Hashem put into this universe all the movements of everything. We know that. And when they happen to shadow each other, it's an amazing thought that we will be, the sun will be eclipsed by the moon, a little tiny object that eclipses the entire sun. And it's awe-inspiring. It really is. Even though we know it's going to happen, now we can predict 1,000 years in advance when it's going to happen. Yet, it still happens, and it's awe-inspiring.
The way you just described it is really what is awe-inspiring about it, because God created the world, as you said, but that he created it in a way where the sun and the moon are at a certain distance from the earth, that this is actually possible, that there would be a time when the small moon would be able to cover the entire, entire image of the sun, presumed surface of the sun. I don't know how you want to refer to it, but as you just said, that's pretty cool. And it's funny because Rabbi Heber on Monday, and I have a whole list of questions for him, as you can imagine. The first being, I hope you got the real glasses, Rabbi, not those knockoff glasses, because that could be dangerous, right, Matas?
I got to tell you, on that one, there have been a lot of letters and suggestions floating around on WhatsApp and whatnot. I saw one yesterday where an ophthalmologist gave a whole two-page letter on why to be careful, how to be careful. And my response was, why not just say, don't look at it,
right.
Period.
Right.
There's just no purpose. I don't know if you did this when you were younger
yeah.
in school, but
yeah.
you took a piece of paper, you made a hole in it,
right.
And you shined it, and you saw the shadow,
right.
which is funny because we always eclipse each other. And again, I'm not being, you know, funny here, but how many times in our lives have we been looking at something and somebody's standing behind us and say, excuse me, can you move over a little bit? You're in my life.
Right.
I mean, that's what this is, you know, simply put, it is, except here is this gargantuan body of light. And that's why it's, as I'm sure you know, and hopefully your listeners know, it's so important not to look at it without special glasses. But again, I suggest don't look at it. But you have the radiations from the sun, which are not blocked. You have the visible light, which is blocked, but not everything else that goes along with it.
I remember as a kid, and I'm sure you know what year I'm talking about, there was a solar eclipse, and a lot of it could be seen in this area. I remember walking around my den with a towel over my head. God forbid I should look out the window, you know? what do you think of that precaution? Nahum Siegel very worried about his baby blues, you know what I mean?
Right, right. And now, as I'm sure you've also seen, there are schools right. that are canceling classes early so that children can be home and supervised not to look at it. I don't know how that's all happened.
Right.
I don't know how that hype, you know, has happened where that has to be done. But I guess modern days, things travel very fast around the global communication systems. And as soon as one person talks about something, another person talks about it.
By the way, you know how often you could, you know that many times you could see the moon during the day, right? I mean, that's not uncommon, right?
Of course.
Now, Monday is the last day of the month.
Yeah.
So there's no shot we will actually be able to see the moon, correct? Am I right about that? It'll be blocking the sun, but we won't be able to see the moon because no part of the moon is visible to us on the last day of a Jewish month. Or am I wrong?
I think you have to check with NASA about that. I'm not sure.
You'll see like a perimeter because obviously it's blocking the sun and you know how that works and what that looks like. But you won't see the actual moon.
Right. Okay. I hear what you're saying.
No, but I'm just wondering if that's like a big deal or not. I don't know if it is. If you know, obviously you're.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I check with Rabbi Heber and see what his thoughts about that are. But scientifically, when we say we see the moon or don't see the moon in the whole Rosh Chodesh cycle, is because of the fact that the moon and sun are positioned in such a way that. Right. The Earth is, they're all positioned in such a way where the light from the sun is not hitting the moon in the same way.
Right.
Obviously, the moon is already always there.
Right. That's why I'm asking: do solar eclipses only happen when the moon is in that stage, or this is just a total coincidence?
Oh, I see what you mean. I don't know.
Matis, you're my eclipse correspondent.
I'm sorry, I never thought about that because the moon obviously is already there. Always, it's just a question of the alignment.
How dark is it going to get here? In other words, if Rabbi Heber is in a city where it's literally a total eclipse, then you know, obviously, I assume there'll be a large measure of darkness where he is. What's going to happen here in this area? Will we notice a difference?
I don't know. I looked in the charts to see if we have a partial or somewhat. I don't think we're going to get that much. But it's interesting that you mention that, and I want to bring in a Judaic thing, which Rabbi sure. Heber may mention also. You know that as an eclipse is one of those things that we do not make a bracha on.
Right.
Make a bracha on thunder and lightning, right. which you know, different sources talk about. You make a bracha on natural things.
And
this is like a
coincidental episode as opposed to like a rainbow, which is a natural creation by God. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. But then others have said, look, it's just as natural because it can be, we know when it happens. It's not like, yes, our sage said that it is an omen time to, if there's a solar eclipse, it's for the sins of the world. If it's a lunar eclipse, it's the sins of the Jewish people because we're so tied to Judaism. But I find it interesting. I mean, thousands of years ago, people knew about eclipses and could predict eclipses even then, but it was looked at as an omen. And interestingly, I think it was Lubavitch says something to the effect that it's not necessarily for the sins of the people, but the sins that people will do, which is kind of interesting because if you think about what it was, again, hundreds, not thousands of years ago, when the solar eclipse occurs, it does become very dark during the day. It may look like a little bit of light, almost like some moonlight, but it does become very dark. Well, people living then without electricity, without electric lights, without darkness, it could have been a time, it was a time where people would come out and do things that they shouldn't do. So, you know, conceptually it's like that.
But I wonder how many people thought it was the end of the world in those days.
I'm sure until it, you know, until people understood it. But you know, again, you look through our history, our Jewish sages and the secular world also knew about eclipses and what they were a very long time ago, because people always watched.
So you've been our space shuttle correspondent. You've been our natural wonder correspondent. But you're sitting this one out. You're going to stay home and not travel to a place like Rochester that has a population of 200,000 and is going to attract an extra half a million people over 2 days.
It's amazing. And you know, there's. I want to speak to somebody who's going to be in an airplane that morning, because there are people who are chartering flights.
Wow.
That in case it rains or, you know, overcast, they will fly above it. It's not the first time it's happened before.
And how often does this happen? Is this like it could be every other year? Is it only every 20, 30 years? Like, how often does it happen?
No, well, a total eclipse in the area. Again, I'm sorry, I don't have the...
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, is this like, it could be another 20 years before we discuss this on the air again?
You know what? It depends on the part of the Earth.
Right.
We're going to get it here, but there are other places that have solar eclipses.
Yeah, I saw on Wikipedia, they have the path of every solar eclipse, and a lot of them obviously never even touched the U.S.
Right. So then it becomes like, okay, what's the big deal? It's like, in a place that's not going to see it, okay, what's the big deal? It's not a solar eclipse.
I get it.
Well, bottom line is, it's something awe-inspiring. There's no question.
Bottom line is, will you be tuned in 72 hours from now when Rabbi Heber is live on the spot under both the sun and moon at the same time, practically, in a major city in the United States?
That I will, without a doubt.
By the way, you better text me some good questions, please. As I'm speaking to him, you got to feed me some good ones, Matis. I'm telling you. Especially if he gets into the whole longitude, latitude thing, I'm lost. So I need your help.
it'll be fine. Trust me, it'll be fine.
Oh, I hope so.
But by the way, he may bring this up. You know, there are halakha considerations. With an eclipse, because we have certain things that we do when it gets dark.
Right. That's why I got to ask him that. Yeah. I got to ask him.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because the Gemara, again, our sages have discussed this.
Right.
So there are certain practical. Ask him about marriage. Like, what happens if you get married during a solar eclipse? What is are there any practical halakhic considerations?
Wow. That's an interesting one you bring up.
I think the answer is no, but...
But why would you think of that one as opposed to other stuff? That's interesting. Well, like if a bris has to be done during the day, can you do it during a solar eclipse? Like, that to me would be a better quiz question.
Okay, that's a good question also. Is it too dark to do a bris? Even though we have lights, you know.
Right, that may be why we have that regulation. I think that's the regulation, right? It has to be done during the day.
Okay. Number of interesting...
Matyahu, stay close to your phone. I'm begging you. Stay close to your phone. Text me some really... Make me look smart that morning, please. I'm begging you. Remember, I know nothing about science. It's certainly nothing about space. By the way, from the Enterprise, could they see total eclipses or not? Like, do you know what the view was from up there? You have no idea.
No, they wouldn't see a total eclipse because they're in space.
They were deprived of that.
They might see a total eclipse from another star,
right?
But not from our sun.
How come one of those flying comets never bumped into that ship? I need to know why. You have any explanation for that?
Because they could move.
they can avoid them. You mean?
And on that note, yeah.
Well, I wish you a happy Reish Chodesh.
Thank you.
Enjoy the eclipse and be in touch. And you let me know how I do because, Rabbi Heber sometimes gets very technical and I'm a little bit worried, but hopefully I'll make it through this. I don't even know if I was on the air the last time there was a solar eclipse of this magnitude, this close to the New York area. So this is revolutionary.
Check on that one.
Yeah, this is revolutionary for me, Matadiyahu.
Right. Have a great Shabbos. Thanks so much.
Thanks a million. There he is. Matis Weingast, the man who is our official correspondent for anything related to space, especially space shuttles and natural wonders, especially as they relate to space. Matis completely turning down the assignment of heading to Rochester or somewhere similar. And he's going to let Rabbi Heber give us the full report about what's happening on Tuesday with this total eclipse. And by the way, I can't blame Matis at all.